According to the fullness of times, of the word, the testimony, the covenants and the cleansings, God has given his servants and prophets meals to serve his people, that darkness in men might be destroyed. Behold, the Lord's table is laden with meals to build a generation of overcomers. From this table comes the ministration of grace from God's servant. Listen and be blessed.
Hallelujah.
God knows what we need. Somebody says, a sugar daddy will give you what you want, but a father will give you what you need. God is not a sugar daddy. God is a father. He knows what we need, and he will give to us what we'll need. He will dispense to us what we need. That is who he is. So somebody, that person that sang daddy with the pamper, well, maybe once in a while. And even if he pampers you, the pampering of God, it will still be to the end of training you. When you say God pampers you, it doesn't mean that he now allows you to just run wild for 5 minutes. You know, the psychology says every human being runs mad for like 5 minutes in their lifetime. I don't know how far that is true. We are not psychologists, we are believers, right? But we know that when the joy of the Lord comes upon us, they can interpret it as madness. Because the manner of the prophets in the Bible is, they call them mad. You understand that now? But the truth is that God knows that there are things that are important for us, because he's not just doing trial and error. He's on a mission. All along, he had been with himself, by himself, in himself. But the moment he decided to make man and to step into the realm of creation as the creator, the whole program changed. And God began a mission, and he's still on that mission. And he wants us to understand what he is doing. He doesn't just want us to call him and serve him and come around him and collect gifts and go away. He wants us to know what he is doing. And when he does know that we are in sync with him concerning what he's doing, then he can quicken what he wants to do. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed. When? So there is something that God wants to reveal. And what does he want to reveal? Salvation. Can you say salvation? Now, the book of Hebrews called it so great salvation, to make you see how important it is. And like we have heard, the issue of salvation is not because, didn't come up because of sin. Whether there was sin or not, there will still be salvation. Do you know the reason why I know that? Because God is salvation. That is his name. God is salvation. I think Isaiah 12 says that. God is salvation. That is his name. His name is to redeem. His name is to save. You see, God does not like to see decay or perishing. So what he did was that the moment he stepped into that realm of wanting to create man, God himself became an inheritance. Or let me put it very well. God became the inheritance. Can you say the inheritance? Because you can't talk about inheritance if you are not in a particular state. Inheritance is a discourse between father and sons, or the person who gives the inheritance and the inheritor. So God became our inheritance. So he said he gave birth to us to this inheritance. And that inheritance has some qualifications. There is a way you can know them. Because there are many things that look like inheritance, and they are not inheritance. So God wants to give inheritance to his sons. And you can't just become a son just like that. You are not born a son. You are made a son. Hallelujah. So he told us the three characteristics of that inheritance. Number one, what is it? It is incorruptible. And number two, undefiled. Number three, it does not fade away. So when you say you overcome, What it means, in effect, is that you inherit, or you are made an inheritor of God. You are made an inheritor of substances that are incorruptible. They cannot be corrupted. Undefiled. They cannot be defiled. They can't fade. So anything that does not have these three qualities cannot be inheritance. They cannot be reason why you should overcome. This is what you should overcome for. And then in case you are confused, the Bible says, reserved in heaven for you. It doesn't mean that heaven is the inheritance. Heaven is a place. Heaven is not the inheritance. Do you hear me? Isaiah 66. Heaven is my throne. God says it. The earth is my footstool. Which house have you built unto me? It means heaven is not his house. So if you say you are going to heaven, you are only going to a location. You may not get the inheritance. Because even God himself, at the end of all, the Bible says, I saw a new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God. So where are these inheritance kept? They are kept in God. They are not kept in heaven. Now, heaven is heaven because God is there. So wherever he is heaven. So if you want to go to heaven, you are okay. You can go to heaven. Just like if you want to go to America, you can go to America. I saw a clip. A guy said the first day he landed in London, he said, UK, I have come. I will not be a slave. I'm a king here. All the jobs, programming job, banking job, they are mine. They are mine. After 2 weeks, they saw him. He was running to chase a bus. He thought the bus would be here. The bus has gone there. He ran. Please wait for me. Wait. It is not what you thought London is that it is. You've got to walk. He said the grass is green on the other side. It's because some people are wetting it. So if we say God, heaven, it's because God is there. If God is not there, heaven will become like the earth. Heaven will be worse than Nigeria. But because God is there, so he told them, do not keep your treasure. Another word for that in Hebrew is treasure. Where thieves can do what? Break into. Where moth can corrupt. Don't put that as your treasure because you are being called to inherit materials that are incorruptible, undefiled, and they don't fade away. Hallelujah. Anything short of that, no matter how good they are, don't call them inheritance. The best you can call them is goods. Can you say goods? Can you say goods? You remember that time when that prodigal son, what did he do? In the book of Luke chapter 15 and verse 12, the Bible says, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, what should you give me? Give me what? The portion of what? Goods. That did what? Now, ordinarily, you would think he was asking for inheritance. In his mind, he was asking for inheritance. The inheritance that followed to me, give it to me. But he didn't understand, and he just said it. He said, give me the portion of goods. Anything short of incorruptible, undefiled, that fade not away, they are goods. They are not inheritance. And that is not what we are called to get. That is not what we are going to overcome for. Hallelujah. Are you with me this evening? He said, and he divided unto them. What did he divide unto them? Look at it. What did he divide? Follow the scripture. What did he divide unto them? His living. He didn't divide to them his abiding. He kept the abiding. He gave them the living. Because the word of God liveth and abideth. You can have the living word. As long as you don't have the abiding word, you will pass away. That is the reality. And so, this man went and he wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, can you say all? He spent all. He began to be in want. That is goods. Goods can be spent. Inheritance cannot be spent. Inheritance is not what you are given. Inheritance is who you become. They can give you goods. Do not mistake them for inheritance. You know, people think that we don't like good things. When we preach Jesus, you think you don't like good things. If you feel you don't like good things, come be part of us in this church. You will begin to like good things. When you see our Father does everything he does with a sense of excellence, you will know that you can't do any less. But we are saying that we are not people who have misplaced priorities. We know what is inheritance. We know what is good. We can do without goods for a while. We can even do without goods at all. But we cannot do without inheritance. Hallelujah. The Bible says, whosoever sees his brother that is in need, who has this world's goods. So God even knows that something they call world's goods. Hallelujah. You think God does not know that a good car is good? God knows. He doesn't ride it. God knows the road to your house. The best car that fits that road is a Jeep. It's not just a Jeep. A four-wheel Jeep is the kind of Jeep you need for your road. Because if he doesn't give you that, your life will quickly cut short. By the time you, all the rocking, the money you should use to eat food, you'll be using to repair one small car you are carrying. But when you carry that Jeep with a serious tire that does not know rock or anything, you just do vroom, vroom. You'll be glad to come to church. But why will God not just give it to you? Because he knows you don't care about inheritance. You care about good. But he wants to do a conversion such that by the time you are converted from a good seeker to inheritance seeker, he will now bring goods. You know, say, well, I don't think I need it. I think I'm okay. Say, no, I will give you. No, I will give you because that's my promise. Hallelujah. So these 7 days, what is God doing? Conversion. Can you say conversion? I can't hear you very well. So God is doing a work of conversion to open our eyes to what is really the gospel, what the gospel has come to offer, and why we need to overcome. Amen. Hallelujah. Can you read with me John chapter 1, verse 12? But as many as received him, what did he do? To them gave he power to become what? To become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So you see, inheritance are only meant for sons. Children don't get inheritance. Only sons get inheritance. And that inheritance is all of God. Can you say all of God? It's not all of goods. It's all of God's. That is the inheritance. And they can't give it to children. They need to give it to sons. Like I said, you are not born a son. You will be made a son. He said, to them that receive, as many as received him. What did he do? He gave them power. There is a power to become sons. Christ is the power of God to make us sons. You see, these beings that we talk about, you think we sound esoteric. We are not sounding esoteric. It's because the devil has dulling our senses so much in the natural that we can't reason outside the natural. So when we read spiritual things, we still try to use natural things to interpret them. So the Bible says there are three beings that we have to relate to it, that we have to know. The mystery of Christ, Colossians 2:2, the mystery of the Father, and the mystery of God. And then some people will tell us, why are you dividing them? God is not divided. God is not one. Why are you saying Son, Father, God? Why are you saying mystery of Christ? Are we the one who wrote the Bible? Some people even got so angry that they removed that part from the Bible. It's only in King James you will find this expression. To the acknowledgement. What is acknowledgement? To come to know. To come to know the mystery of God. The mystery of the Father. The mystery of Christ. This is all Jesus. But Jesus in various ways. Pastor read for us yesterday, Acts 3:19. Jesus will be sent again. This Jesus who was, repent therefore that your sin may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall do what? Shall come from the presence of the Lord, verse 20, and he shall do what? Send Jesus, which was before preached, or he has been preached unto you. Like Pastor told us in Titus 1:3, the counsel of God, the mystery of God can only be known by preaching. You can't study to know it. You can't read Bible to know it by yourself. Otherwise, there's no need for him to send apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, teachers. There's no need for him to send the hand of Christ. You see, those hands, the hand of Christ, to shape you, to mold you. They do preaching. An apostle is not known by how many churches he has planted, but how many people he has Christed. Not how many churches he has planted. So, he manifests his word through preaching. But you see, this Jesus has been preached to us. But now he's saying he will send him again. The one who has been preached to us, that means The one that was preached to us was not the all of God. The God we know, the depth of God we know now is a fraction of the all of God. That's why I said, I will pour out of my spirit. Out of my spirit was what Peter said. But that was not what Joel said. Joel said, I will pour out my spirit. No reservation. I'm not going to hold back. I will give them everything I have. I'm not man who will know something and will use it as an edge over the other. They call something unfair advantage in business. That thing that you know that is making your business strike that you can't tell anybody and you will never tell anybody. You go to YouTube, you think you are learning, you are not learning. They will not tell you their secret. They will only tell you how to make money. Let them go and use what they are teaching to make money. They will not make money. That's why you see, teaching about how to make money sells more than making money. Go and do it. Just make sure you do it the way I've said it. Let them themselves go and do it. Like somebody advertising cough syrup and is coughing. What's the meaning of that? So this means mystery of Christ. Mystery of the Father. Mystery of God. What is mystery? This meeting is not just to bamboozle us. This meeting is not just to make us feel a good people. That is said it. This is not a conference. This is not a convention. This is a campaign. A campaign is a place where you cause people to see. You sensitize people to see what is there for them. Not the campaign of our politician. Who will campaign in poetry? They will not get to the government as they now realize that governance is in drama. Governance is prose, so not poetry. It's not the way we have thought it used to be. But God is not doing a campaign of poetry. What he says is what he means. What he means is what he says. And he has raised his servants to show you. You can't see it by yourself. You can't know it. That Ethiopian eunuch said, how can I understand? Except somebody. You need somebody to show you. It doesn't matter who you are. On the radio program, we are saying, if you are 80 years and you are born again, you are a babe in Christ. It's not derogatory. That's your state. So we need to know what God is saying to us. Romans 16:25. We read it to us yesterday. Romans 1:1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be who? Separated unto what? Separated unto what? There is the gospel of God. It is not your gospel. It is the gospel of God. Go to verse 16 very quickly. Verse 16. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Was the writer sleeping? In verse 1, he said, gospel of God. In verse 16, he said, gospel of Christ. Towards chapter 2, Paul said, my gospel. The gospel of God is different from the gospel of Christ. But you can't know the gospel of God without the gospel of Christ. Hallelujah. It's when God calls us, he names us. When he named us a kingdom of priests. What did he name us? Many people have taken the kingly part of that ordination and they have run with it. I'm a king. I'm a king's kid. No, you are a priest. God is a priest. Is that okay? He has all the three in himself. And that was the wisdom he wanted to deploy in reigning over Israel. Israel saw other nations. They had kings. They don't have priests. They don't have prophets. But God said, don't worry. I am your king. I am your lawgiver. I am your judge. A priest is a man of judgment. Is that okay? Solomon prays Psalm 72. Give the king your judgment. And the king's son, give them judgment. So God says, don't worry. As a priest, I'm giving you all these three in one. They said, no way. We want to be kings. But the original intention is that we are a kingdom of priests. We are still priests. For ye are a chosen generation. A royal priesthood. Your priesthood is with royalty. Your priesthood is regal. It's not a beggarly priesthood. Then you are a peculiar people. You are actually a people. You are a people, but you are a peculiar people. You are a royal priesthood. And then you are a chosen generation. For what purpose? So that you can show forth. Can you say show forth? The praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Hallelujah. So, you see, I said you can't become an inheritor if you're not a son. You start by being a people. Because he gave them an archetype in Hosea chapter 1, verse 8. Now when she had weaned Loruhama. Now the story is this. You know the story? Hosea, God said, go marry a prostitute. Get back to first son. God wanted to say something. Get back to first son. Call his name Loruhama. What does it mean? Not pitied. This one is not pitied. Are you with me? Then God said, conceive again and bear a son. And now God said, call this one Loami. What is the meaning of Loami? Not my people. God wants to say something. The first one, not pitied. This one, not my people. Hallelujah. He now said in verse 10, yet the number of children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured or numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said to them, ye are not my people. What will happen? There it shall be said unto them, ye are the sons of the living God. You see, that is the end. But it doesn't mean that you are already the son of the living God. You will be made. I'm not saying that you have to be made a son for you to be able to inherit. And you must understand who is a son. Matthew 16:16. Thou art the Christ. And the next thing, the son of who? Of the living God. Saint Peter said the same thing in John 6:69. After Jesus said, will you go away? He repeated it in John 6:69. Thou art the Christ. And we believe and are sure that thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. So Christianity is a call to know some persons, to know some dignitaries, and to inherit their lives. That's all about Christianity. Any other thing we do around that is just to help that purpose. But those things, other things we do, they are not the purpose. So you need to know who is Christ. You need to know who is the Father. And you need to know who is God. Not just to know them, you should come into their world. They have their world. You come into their world. And they have called us to come and learn them. And that's the essence of the gospel. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. What will I do? I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and do what? Learn of me. We don't like to learn. We don't like to learn. People can pray 15 hours, but they can't listen to word for 15 hours. But you don't know the power of words. It is words that changes. You are changed by preaching. Who you are right now is as a result of the preaching Reverend Busuri has uttered over you. Those preachings have changed you. Those preachings are power. They contain molecules of life. They go with you. They talk to you. Even after he has dropped the mic, he is still speaking to you in your life and tell you, no, that's not how it is. Holy Ghost comes and convicts you with those words, and then you are changing. Don't you think you have changed? This is not the you that used to be 5 years ago. You used to be a very temperamental person. Before they said one, you said 14. You don't just have what it takes to bear people. You don't just have what it takes to condone. When people are talking and the matter is hot, you don't know how to keep quiet to wait for your turn. As the person is speaking and he says something, you say, no, that's not the way. That's not the way he said it. They said, don't worry. Wait, let him talk. When he is finished talking, you will say your own. You say, okay. And then he's talking, no, that's not what he said. I didn't say that. Da. In fact, we're not having any meeting again. I'm going. Where's my Bible? My wife, meet me. If you don't meet me at home now, you leave your wife there, you go away. You are too strong. You are too temperamental. Anger is your partner. You are like that person looking for trouble up and down. Just want to fight. If you don't fight in a week, you'll be sick. One brother traveled to the UK. He got to the UK. He saw how orderly things were. After 1, 2, 3 weeks, they want to kill me. Lagos boy. No. He just took a flight and came back to Nigeria. He was not mad. He got to Nigeria. He went to Ojota. And he saw the overhead bridge that you climb. He knew that some people used to catch people. He deliberately crossed the road. They just rushed him and carried him. Said, yes, that's what I'm saying. This is Lagos. This is Lagos. Thank you. It is there. But the same person came to church, sat on that wall, began to hear a word. What are they saying? Who is that tall man? I don't even understand what he's saying. But I think I like the church, the school, CSC everywhere. See, I like that. See the ambience. I think I will come here next Sunday. Next Sunday, you brought your wife. I think this is where I will be going. I think this is where, like, the day Pastor came to church. He said, wow, this is Act of the Apostle. 2018. He said, this is Act of the Apostle. He was talking to everybody. Wow, this is Act of the Apostle. What did he see? And he said, it's like, I think I will come here. I think I will come. Now he's a pastor here. Pastor in the church. That is what God can do. Pastor Ezekiel, he was doing his teaching in his secondary school. And Pastor Shegunu is not doing anything. Was doing something on his phone. Playing Edenic life. And he was hearing, who is this person? What kind of a message is this? He has not heard this kind of message in church. Please, can I collect that message? He collected the 7 series. He listened to it. Who is this man? Let me go and check them, what they are doing. He came from a world background, though. Sure, you know. Where he came from, they are world people. But they have not seen the world. And then he came. Who is this man? I think I will come here next Sunday. I think I will come again. And now he's a pastor. Pastor in an assembly. That is what words can do. You come to a class, you sit down. Somebody talks over you. And talks over you. First semester. He's talking. And he's talking. 3. Year 4. Year 7. And then suddenly they say you are a doctor. Hey? Who made you a doctor? Words. So church is a place where we hear words. Not words that we know. Words we don't know. Ancient words. Ever true. Changing me. And changing you. And there are 3 beings who will give us the word. But they know we can't receive them. So they send the Holy Ghost to us. Holy Ghost, go ahead and be with them. So Holy Ghost comes into your heart. You speak in tongues. He knocks off your senses. He begins to tell you, prepare you and all of that. And then we call the Holy Ghost preparation. To prepare you for Christ. Because Christ is the foundation. Christ is where your journey begins. So that is why if you are a believer, you have not known Christ. Forget inheritance. Forget overcoming. You have not started your journey. Your journey begins the day you know Christ. I didn't say the day you get born again. In fact, Daddy told us, born again is for believers. Believing is for unbelievers. That's why they call them unbelievers. They don't believe. They should believe and now be saved. When you believe, you are added to the church for your salvation work to begin. And then they speak words over you. The gospel of God. So show me that Romans 16:25 that I talked about. He said, now to him that is of power to do what? To establish you. According to what? My gospel. You see, this my gospel. It's actually the gospel of Christ. It's actually the gospel of God that Paul had come to own. He had come to know what that gospel is. And what? Again, the preaching of Jesus. So this is the essence of church. A church is a place where they preach Jesus. And that Jesus is the gospel. And that preaching is according to another. It's not a preaching anyhow. It's not today. Today, we have danced, we have prayed. Let's just look at something. Shout. 2 Kings chapter 5. Now there was a man called Naaman. He's the great man and all. But he's a leper. Can you say but? But. Today, every but in your life is going. See this person, but. You may be rich. What is that but in your life? You will rise up on your feet. You will now shout like somebody that the door hinge has hooked his hand. Or like a woman with a high heel step upon their toes. That's how you will shout. You will say, Jesus, take away bald. Are you praying already? And people start shaking their head. And they sweat like I'm sweating. And at the end, they go home and say, we had church. You had nothing. You had nothing. You just have spiritual dopamine. You just excited yourself. Nothing has happened. You have only got a degree, BLLB. Nothing has happened. But church is a place where they preach Jesus. They preach Jesus based on a syllabus. That syllabus is called revelation of the mystery. Because if it's not a mystery, it doesn't need to be revealed. Hope that is not seen is not hope. When you have seen something, do you hope for it? You have been hoping one day I will marry. Now you have married. Are you still hoping to marry? Because it's not a reality. You don't hope for it again. But this one, he says, according to the revelation of the mystery. What mystery? Which God, which was kept secret since the world began. Meaning before the world was created, there is an agenda. That agenda is called secret. It's not secret of secret society. It simply means what has been hidden from the eyes of men, that it will take God to show to us that this is my intention for you. You don't know. Our daddy told us a story many years ago. The wife traveled, and then the sisters in church gathered to cook for daddy. And then they went to the market and they spent money and they did all manner of things. And they cooked a very wonderful aromatic soup. And they brought it home. As daddy sat down, opened the pot, daddy saw Iru, locust bean. He does not eat Iru. He is allergic to Iru. All the sweetness, all the expectation died. Why? He does not eat Iru. It's not a sin that he doesn't eat Iru. He doesn't just eat it. He doesn't just eat it. And he closed the pot. He said, I'm so sorry, I don't eat Iru. Do you know what happened? They didn't do it based on his prescription. The gospel is a prescription. We can't serve God the way we like. That's why that guy that sang, in your presence anything goes. No, anything does not go in his presence. His presence is an order. There is an order. Even Job said, I will order my steps to him. I will come before him like a prince. That is the way you come to God. So this secret, what is that secret? God's agenda. That I want to make you to become like me. And don't forget, God does not ask us to do what he has not done. He said, who he that overcome, Revelation 3:21, what will I do? Will I grant unto him to sit with me where? In my throne. Even as I also. So that means he too overcame. And not only him, even as I also. Oh, some other persons overcame. John overcame. Paul overcame. Peter overcame. Jesus overcame. So he's calling to overcome, not to come and do what he has not done. Even as I also overcame. So what am I saying? The gospel is the curriculum of how to overcome. You see that man? They first of all drop laws and statutes into you. They will drop it into you. Then after a while, it's not going to be one day or 2 days, years. They will now introduce to the bread of God. You see the face of the priest. They say it's a warning face. You don't take this bread of God and go and do what you like. It is when you have eaten the bread of God, then you can go and war. Who send you to war when you are not kitted? These are the materials that get you to go to war. The law, the statute, the testimony. These are all teachings. Don't be confused by it. They are all teachings. Teachings. And it's not one day. It's not 2 days. They teach you. They teach you. They teach you. They teach you. Then you have the bread of God. You eat God's bread. Then you are strengthened to war. Revelation 21, verse 7. The Bible says, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Hallelujah. Now, 2 Peter 1:3 says, according as his divine power, he has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who has called us unto glory and virtue, whereby are given to us great and precious promises, that by this ye might be what? Partakers of the divine nature. Having done what? Escape the corruption that is in the world. Now, this corruption is in the world. And it works through lust. Now, this is still not really corruption. This is the corruption that comes through the world. You are going to overcome them. You are going to overcome sin. You are going to overcome the flesh. You are going to overcome that nature that you inherited. That is the whole gospel, to change our nature. That's all. That's all. Change our nature. That's why he said, sit and learn of me. Because the more you learn of him, the more you behold him, the more you become him. He said, as many as received him, to them gave the power to become. You don't just become first. You need to believe. You believe. What is believe? These words, they are true. I need to learn them. I need to know them. They are not what I'm used to. I need to know them. Then as you believe, what's happening to you? You are changing. And there's an interface there. You are beholding. As you behold him as in a glass, we are chained to the same image. The word of God is a glass. It shows us our lives. This is not who you are. You see, people say, that is me. Oh. That is who we are in our family. Oh. I will show you hell. I will show you pepper. They are not lying. They have those things. They have hell. The gospel is to extract hell from you. The gospel is to turn you from a hellish being to a spiritual being. To be like Jesus. You know, he told them, Pastor was greeting us earlier. I was talking about children. I said, Pastor, you're already stealing into my note. Because I was going to read Isaiah 11. He talked about the sucking child. Let's read it. Matthew 18. Matthew 18. So you see what the gospel is meant to do. And those three beings, the mystery of Christ, the mystery of the Father, the mystery of God. Go to Matthew 18, 1. What did he say there? Verse 1. At the same time, came the disciples to Jesus saying what? What did they say? What did they say? What do we call the greatest in our own world here? We call them goat, right? God does not call them goat. I will tell you what God calls them. At the same time, came the disciples to say, who is the greatest? Where? In the kingdom of God. What did Jesus say to them? Verse 2. Show me verse 2. He called who? Okay. He called the little child. And what did he do? He set him. And what did he say? Except ye be converted. Who was he talking to? Disciples. Except ye be converted and become. He said those two words. Convert. Become. You know the meaning of conversion? Conversion is not a reversible reaction. Some people, they thought they are converted. No, your conversion is still reversible. And that's why you say you have converted. After a while, you do something that you say you will not do again. You are not yet converted. If you put Gary in a hot water, what do you have? Can you get back your Gary and your hot water again? No, maybe you don't know great scientists. Let's go and meet Albert Einstein. Maybe he will help us. Eh? But if you put salt inside water and it dissolves, can you get your salt back? Yeah. By the time you heat the water, it dries up and you get your crystallized salt back. That's chemistry. This one is spiritual chemistry. It's called irreversible reaction. That is conversion. Because the moment you are converted and you become, you can't unbecome. And become as what? Little children. You shall not enter into the kingdom of God. In that place in Isaiah 11 that you showed me, he said, a little child will lead them. Along the line, he talked about the weaned child. Along the line, he talked about the sucking child. Who is a child? God wants to make us children. You know, when they were praying in Acts chapter 4, they were praying that God should perform miracles and all of that when they were arrested. They said, please do this thing through the hands of your holy child, Jesus. They want to make you a child. It doesn't mean that they want to make you a child physically. They want to make you a child that. The essence of the gospel is to change our heart, to give us heart of flesh, to take away heart of stone. So when they are able to do this, then you become the greatest in the kingdom. Like they call them goat, greatest of all. God has his own. His own is goatee. You just add IE, greatest of all times and in eternity. It's not just in time here. They want to make you the greatest in eternity. And the one they will make greatest in eternity, you will become a child. They will war with you. They will wrestle you down. People will see you, they will not believe it is you. The you that they know, like your mom was giving us testimony. About daddy. They said, daddy is that. Is this the person you want to marry? But how many years now? That is the power of the gospel. God wants to change us. And in the process of changing, you will fight. Say somebody, you will fight. Say you will fight. Say you will bleed. Because it's not easy to convert people. It's not easy to change you. You feel like you should slap him. But you know you cannot. You can. Sometimes you are driving and you just have to wind up your glasses. Not because you don't want those, but because you don't want to hear the insult of the Okada people.
Because you know when you hear their insult and they are insulting, you feel like you clear them off the road. So to help yourself, you wind up. You behave as though you are not the one they are talking to. Yeah, they are the one. You are the one they are talking to. What is on you? Can't you be patient? Somebody came to overtake you from the left side and stood in front of you and expected you to stop. Say, can't you be patient? See his face. And something, is it me you are talking to? They want to make us dead to those things. But there's a power that does that. It's called the power of the blood. It's not easy, oh. It's not easy, oh. They will collect your blood. They will collect your life. Your life will go away so that they can give you their life. Hallelujah. It is then you will start the journey of overcoming. Are we together this evening? Like I said, I don't have any title for this, but I'm telling you the kind of a person that can be an overcomer. You see, warrior, you like warrior, but you see, that's just the external, the things you fight. But internally, you are not just a warrior like this, you are a lamb. If you read that Isaiah 11, you will see what they will do to you. In that Isaiah, Revelation chapter 5, they said, who is worthy to open the book and to loosen the sea? Who did they find? Was it warrior they were looking for? Was it something they were looking for? No, they were not looking for something. Who did they call? Who did they announce as the overcomer? The one who has prevailed. Who is the person? The lamb. So the gospel is to make us lambs. Sometimes I used to wonder, of all those beings in Isaiah 11, which one am I? I know they want to make me a lamb. And they have started the journey of making me a lamb. But who are you? Go and read that, please. Are you a cockroach? Some of us are asp. Some of us are black mamba. Some of us are leopard. Some of us are young lions. Some of us are wolf. Some of us are fox. They can't catch you. You are too foxy. But he said they want to make all of us, to make us a little child. What will make us a little child? We eat, and we all eat grass. What is that grass? You think it's that grass outside there? No, it's the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. So to be an overcomer is not what you thought you know. There are many things that are still overcoming you right now. Is it sins of the flesh? Is it sins of the... You know there are sins of the flesh. There are sins of the spirit. In fact, some people, the devil so much did a bad work, all they focus on is works of the flesh. They ignore Mr. Flesh. It's just his work. What are his works? Fornication, adultery, drunkenness, and then you look at all those things, there's none you are doing. It tells you are okay. Who is telling you are okay? Flesh. And that is how flesh can follow you to enter anywhere. Flesh can even help you hold microphone and preach. Anything that does not serve God's purpose is flesh. Anything that does not drive the agenda of God, is no matter how beautiful it is. You know, flesh can make people see ministry, like Daddy said, and all they are after is the glamour of ministry, not the conversion of ministry. People do competition in churches today. People say this church is a church of intellectuals. We're a church of intellectuals here. We don't do things anyhow like those other churches where they clap and beat local drum. No, we use synthesizer. What is speaking? It's still flesh. So you are going to overcome flesh. Amen. You will overcome works of the flesh. Amen. You will overcome hell. Amen. You will overcome death. Amen. You will overcome the grave. You will overcome the dragon. Amen. It is then ultimately they will come. You see this man looking fine, wearing robe. You know what he has gone through? You know what he has gone through? You will fight. You see, your decision these 7 days is to say, Lord, I am ready. I am ready. You see, that 1 Peter chapter 4 is like a scripture that haunts somebody. That they should live the remaining part of their life. Verse 2. That he no longer should live the rest of his time. We have wasted a lot of time doing religion, doing church, doing what is known. It is time now. What is the slogan of Life Campaign? It is to live. Making live now. So we should leave all the paraphernalia of church and really come into the gospel, which is to change you. If you're not changing, then the gospel is not working. You can't explain it because some other persons are changing. This world is working. And God is saying, learn of me. I want to temper you. I want to change you. I want to make you like I made Jesus. See what he turned Jesus to be. And they are asking you to lay it down. Like that song, draw me close to you. Never let me go. I lay it all down again. To hear you say, you should be content with being his friend. Many of us are title driven. We want to be reverend, doctor, professor, all of that. I'm saying to us on a very serious note that it's not just to come and do that. Oh, life campaign, 2026. No. It's a time to come and learn how to be an overcomer. It's a time to come and know what is it that God wants. What is even Christianity? You saw how Daddy came in the month of February. All those foundational teachings. You thought we have known them before? No. God knows that if those things are not done in us, this meeting will just come and go like every other meeting. I was listening to Pastor doing jingle for Life Campaign 2022. I said, this is 4 years after. What has happened? And you know the earth drinks anything that comes upon it. Pour the whole water of the world. What happens to the earth? But you see, the beauty is if it drinks it and produces fruit. So these 7 days, you must make up your mind that I'm going to produce fruit.
We believe you have been fed by this inspiring ministration from God's servant. Why don't you make it a date with us in any of our special meetings? You can join us every Wednesday for the special teaching series by 6 p.m. or on Sundays by 8 a.m. online or on-site at Eternal Life Embassy Assembly around you. For inquiries, call 0704-921-2074 or 0703-395-8818 or visit www.fmeli.org. Remain blessed.